of eternal life, and we believe that God did this. Right? You believe that Jesus Christ came into your heart. You believe that He forgave you for your sin. You believe the Word of God in simple faith. The faith came by hearing, the hearing by the Word of God, and God says that the same faith is necessary to go on in your Christian life. And for 5 years, this is his testimony after he received Christ. For 5 years, he said he fought it, and he fought it, and he fought it. And the night, or a few weeks before we came out here, the church let us share our testimony and show a slide presentation. And my mother and father were in the audience. And that night, he raised his hand and we went up and we prayed with him and he received Christ. But what he said was that he couldn't deny the fact that my life had changed. And he had come to church and he had sat under the influence of a gospel preaching minister. I had shared my testimony with him on what Christ had done for me, but none of those things got through. And it took 5 years before God used the changed life to bring my father to Christ. Now he just kind of, he picked up the Bible after we were through praying and he looked at it and kind of fondled it. And he says, I'm going to be different. I'm going to be changed. And from that time on, every time we went over to my folks' house, he was reading the Word of God. And he'd open it up and he'd say, hey, he said, let me share something with you. You know, he's in the Word of God and his life had been changed. So your life, you are the Bible to a lot of people. You are the only Bible that a lot of people are going to see. And they're going to look at you, and whether or not they make a decision for Jesus Christ is going to be determined by what your life is before God. So people are looking at you critically. They aren't giving you the benefit of the doubt, believe me. You aren't going to get a break from the person who doesn't know Christ. Paul wrote to Timothy, says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Why? That thy profiting may appear unto all. The changed life. He says, Timothy, get in the Word of God. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Why? So that your profiting can appear unto all, so that everyone will be able to see the change in your life as a result of your contact with the Word of God. That's what he was writing. You worried about evangelism? You worried about not witnessing? You know what the next verse says? It says that thou shalt both save thyself and those that hear you. You'll evangelize because your life will be squared away before God. People are going to be coming to you and saying, hey, what is it that's different about you? You know, you used to be this way, now you're this way. What's the change? Scripture says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, a lot of times we get all head up. We think, boy, next week I'm going out on my visitation program. And we start reviewing verses and we start having our quiet time. We start reading our Bible. We get psychologically in gear to go out and witness for Christ. That's good. But you know what? The context of 1 Peter 3:15 is smack dab in the middle of suffering for doing right, in the midst of persecution and suffering, have your life so changed that this individual is going to come up to you on your blind side and say, hey, what is it that you've got? What makes you able to react in these circumstances the way you're reacting? Then you don't have time to say, well, now, you know, wait a minute, let me review some verses here and have a quiet time and pray a little bit. Because he is there asking you for the reason of the hope that's in you. And that's when we want to have a testimony for Jesus Christ on our lips. Not just when we get all head up and ready to motor out and take the world for Christ. But when things are rough and tough, and you're suffering for doing right, maybe, and you don't think you're wrong, be ready in that circumstance. Some illustrations. This is what your mate wants to see in the way of changed life. The person you're sitting next to. They want you, gentlemen, to open the door, their car. They want you to hot-foot it around to that other side of the car and grab that door and open it like you were opening it for Queen Elizabeth. Is that right, girls? Doesn't it just get to you when the clown runs halfway up the street and you've got to open that door and chase him down? That will flat get to him. No ring in the bathtub. Very simple. Girls, when your husband comes home at night and hits the sack, does he leave a trail of clothes from the door to the bed? I think they want the clothes picked up. You know, we had a conferee leaving the conference Saturday, and there's a sock lane here. And some guy picked it up and said, hey, does anyone know who belongs to this? And a girl outside said, no, but there's another one out here. So he went out there and he looked and he followed the trail, because there's just a trail of clothes all the way out to the car. Clothes picked up. Proper attention. This is one I'm working on, personally. We get really busy around here. And we get to cutting meat in there, and my wife walks by and says hi, and I'm in there, you know, I'm learning to butcher. I'm in there cutting the meat, and I said, and cutting the meat. Last week I was in this situation, and I had determined before the Lord that when she comes next time, I'm going to stop. I'm going to have coffee and cookies and sit down and chat with her. Remember that, sweetie? It worked. But you've got to make up your mind to show them the proper attention. Take them out to dinner. We go out to dinner all the time. We play peewee golf together. Because, men, these gals are going to make the difference whether or not you succeed in your relationship to Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. I challenge you to show me a man of God today who doesn't have a godly wife. You name me one. Every man that I know that's walking with Jesus Christ today has a godly wife walking with Jesus Christ today. And you either help or you hinder that. You really do reap what you sow. If you don't get out and open that door, if you don't pick up those clothes, you are not going to get strawberries in your pancakes. You mark my words, you're going to reap what you sow. They want help with the children. They want you to help with the dishes. They don't want to do all the yard work. They want us to dress sharp. They want someone that they can look at and say, ladies and gentlemen, there is my husband. They want to be proud of him. They don't want some old slouching,
Gee, there's my husband.
You know? They want us to be sharp. They want our shoes to be shined. They want our ties to be tied right. They want our clothes to be pressed. They want us to look sharp all the time. All the time. Every area of our life. They want us to accept the blame sometime, even if they are wrong. And don't be a nagger. Boy, don't be a nagger. Honey, man, how come, you know? Why not this? Why not that? Why not this? Don't be a nagger. Wives, be an encourager. Boy, I tell you, I don't know if my wife works on this or not, but she is an encourager. You know, she tells me, she says, sweetie, she says, you can do anything you want to do. And I think, oh man, she's kidding. And then I realize that she's really serious. She says, you can do anything you want to do. That's the kind of sweetie we want, gals. Be an encourager. Make this guy think that he can do anything he wants to do. Don't drag your heels. Don't make him have to give you a thesis for what he does. Don't be slow on the uptake. Get in there with him in the yoke. Laboring together, heirs together of the grace of God. Not individually, not the wife dragging the husband or the husband dragging the wife, but in the yoke together, heirs together of the grace of God. And if you've got a husband sold out for Jesus Christ, don't put the stops to him. Because there are gals in the world with kids and no husbands who wish that their husband was sold out to Jesus Christ because he'd still be with them now. It could be a lot worse, gals and guys. So cultivate this relationship with your wife, because she is going to make the difference in whether you 10, 15, 25 years from now are walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ and having a ministry. So work on it. It won't come easy.